all of our moms here this morning and online, we want to welcome you and especially say happy Mother's Day to you, that special place you hold in the hearts of so many of us. Can be expressed fully enough, the appreciation and the love that we have for you this morning. Amen. Let's give our moms a round of applause this morning. I wonder, when you think of a mom, what are some words that kind of pop into your mind that might describe mom to you? Let's just kind of all over the place. Just
tireless.
Selfless.
Patience.
Loving.
Giving.
Tough love.
Encouraging.
Oh my, come on, no delays here, guys. You should be like spitting them out real quick. Throwing your bone, guys. Come on, what are some things?
Unconditional love,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Godly.
Spanking.
Hey man, when you need, absolutely. If the shoe fits, wear it. Use that too, right? Isn't it amazing how our God, in his wisdom and in his desire to communicate different dynamics of who he is, there's a nurturing side of God, a loving side of God, a caring and tender and soft, approachable side of God that is not in contradiction to any other part of his character, but is the full picture of who he is. And in God's wisdom and wanting us to understand that nurturing and tender and giving and soft spoken and selfless and serving part of his nature, he created moms. I mean, think about it. God didn't need to create families. He's God. He could do however. He could have created humanity any way he wanted to. But God allowed us and invites us to engage in different kinds of relationships. Mother, father, son, daughter, friend. And when those relationships are walking in the design that God has for them, they become a picture of a different character trait of God. It's a lot easier to understand the nurturing side of God when we had a nurturing mother. When we have a caring heart, you know, a caring, tender-hearted mom, it's the way in which God allows us and prepares us to accept and receive those dynamics of his love. And so for our moms this morning, we want to honor you. We want to thank you for being a reflection of God's love to us. And we honor you this morning. And matter of fact, we have a special spread set aside for you in the family room. That's for our moms. Everybody say our moms. Our moms, is if there's anything left over, those who have moms then can jump in, and which is all of us. But we want our moms to just feel special this morning, and so we thank God for you and honor you today. And maybe your mom listening online and you're being served breakfast in bed, we honor you as well this morning. So last week, we kind of looked at the last of the seven churches in Revelation, and we looked at specifically the church of Laodicea, and we talked about the importance of guarding against lukewarmness, and we talked about ways in which we can guard against becoming lukewarm, and I appreciated so many afterwards had emailed me or spoken to me and just said it was really what they needed to hear, because I think there's always that tension. There's always that struggle, that battle that we oftentimes have of genuinely wanting to passionately follow Jesus with all of our hearts. And that's why you're here. I mean, that's why you come and you engage in things like this. And obviously that's there. But that's also, there's also this other side that is always calling for our attention, our responsibilities, our distractions. And so there's always this battle. Right? Does anybody have those kinds of experiences, right? I mean, like many of you, I find it difficult at times to balance out the things that everybody else wants me to do and everybody else expects me to do. I have a hard time balancing that out with what I know God wants me to do. Because sometimes, if I'm not careful, People can speak louder than God. People's demands can cry louder than God's. And we need to be careful to make sure that we are holding in a healthy, proper tension what we do with who we do it for and why we do it out of a heart and love for Jesus. And I've just kind of learned that, and I'm sure many of you have come to realize this, especially if you're, you know, how many know that if you have an eighth day of your week, you'd fill it as quick as you did every other one as well, right? And I've kind of learned that everything I say yes to means I've got to say no to something else, whether I realize it or not. That's always the reality. There's only so many hours in our day. There's only so many days in our week. And everything we say yes to means that it's going to be a no to something else. And the thing that we're saying no to, we need to make sure that it's the right thing that we're saying no to. This morning, we're going to kind of zoom in on a scene that is not a typical Mother's Day message. However, it's an event that many moms can probably very much relate with. We're going to zoom in on a scene of a disagreement that takes place between two sisters over housework. Can any moms relate to like that kind of story, right? So that's really kind of like what we see happening. Jesus kind of shows up and there's this little bit of a debate that one sister's complaining about the other, about chores that need to be done in the home. And so I just think that really kind of ties in a lot with what, as parents, we oftentimes deal with. But I think what Jesus will do in this scene will almost serve as a part two to what we looked at last Sunday. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn together to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. How many are thankful for the changing of the seasons and all the colds that and sinus stuff that comes along with it? Praise Jesus, right? I'm sure you can hear that in my voice this morning. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So we have what is probably a very familiar passage to some, this scene that takes place between these two sisters. And what's interesting is they both have a very different idea on how they're supposed to receive Jesus into their home. We have Mary and Martha, and they're very different, and they both have very different ideas on how they are to receive Jesus into their home. What we have here is a beautiful picture of different ways people approach God. If we were to kind of zoom back and look at how that might apply today, we see a picture of two different ways that people approach God. Martha approaches God by doing. Mary approaches God by listening, by being. Martha is looking at what has to be done for their guest, and Mary is just caught up with her guest. Jesus is here, and everything else really doesn't matter. What we have before us is nothing out of the ordinary. It's a fight between two sisters over the chores that need to be done around the house. And I'm sure while we all can relate with that scene, we see something that Jesus addresses here that I think really helps us to understand the thing that God wants us to most prioritize in our Christian life, in our Christian ministry, that we all have a Christian ministry. I think it's very safe to assume that for Martha to blow up the way she did during a time that she would most likely be on her best behavior. Because, I mean, Jesus showed up into the house, right? So, like, you think if somebody like Jesus is showing up into your house, you kind of fake it until you make it, right? You put the happy face on, you do whatever, you know what it is when you have company coming over. It's kind of like you could be battling, not that we experience this ever, but we could be battling like all day long when the company comes like, hey, How's everybody doing? We're so glad you're here. Praise the Lord. You know, and we just kind of put it on, you know. Well, Martha, I mean, you think she's probably on her best behavior at this point, knowing that Jesus shows up into the house. And even in her best behavior, Martha blows up. It gives me a good indication that this is probably something that Martha normally did. My guess is if she couldn't contain herself there, she hadn't contained herself every other time that she was frustrated with her sister Mary, and perhaps frustrated with far more than what was clearly on the surface. This morning, I'm not here to beat up Martha. In many ways, I am Martha. And you know, as we look at the words of Jesus and what Jesus does here, Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha. He invites her to enjoy him. He invites her to adjust her priorities so that she can live and walk in the design that he has for her life. And so this morning, I think we could probably all find ourselves wearing both of those masks. Sometimes we're Mary, and sometimes we're Martha. And a lot of times the thing that will fuel which of those we're going to be is going to be informed by what's going on around us. And I think there's some things in this lesson here that we can learn from both of them that might help us to identify ways in which we can better, because the reality is we want to be more like Mary. We don't want to be like Martha. We don't want to be so busy that we're missing Jesus in the room. And so there's a couple of things that we see here that I think is pretty interesting. I mean, Martha clearly had a chip on her shoulder. I mean, she is frustrated. She is like angry, and she goes to Jesus. And there's a couple of things that we see here about Martha. Number one, we see that Martha was distracted with much serving. Interesting. You see, Martha is looking at all of the stuff that needs to get done around the house and is not realizing fully who just walked through the door. And you know, I think if we look at some of the setup that takes place in Martha's life, I think we can actually see in this, which probably would have been a better title this morning, the anatomy of a disgruntled Christian. Because really what we see taking place in Martha, every one of us can be guilty of at one time or another. The anatomy of a disgruntled Christian. The first thing that Martha does is she's distracted over everything that needs to get done. She's looking outward and she's not realizing who is right in front of her. The pots need to be cleaned. This is a mess. That needs to be taken care of. Who's going to take care of this? And we start seeing all the things that are not being taken care of the way we think they should, that we fail to recognize who is in the room. And so Jesus highlights, listen, Martha, we see that she's distracted with her serving. And what does she do? She rats out her sister. She's distracted with much serving, and then it escalates. Well, listen, if nobody else is going to let Jesus know what's going on, I'm stepping up, right? Jesus, do you know my sister Mary? She left me and I'm stuck. Don't you even care that I'm the one having to do this all by myself? You see, that's exactly what happens. We start looking at the stuff that's not getting done. Then we start looking at the people who aren't doing what they should be doing either. And so now Martha has moved beyond being distracted by the stuff to being distracted by Mary. And she starts looking at other people. And then it continues to progress. Then she accuses Jesus of not caring. She says to him, don't you care that my sister left me alone? Now also, now she is drawing conclusions on the motives of Jesus. Obviously, you've not stepped up and said anything. Obviously, in the midst of your teaching here, you didn't feel necessary to highlight the fact that I am out here doing all the work by myself. And so let me just, obviously, you just don't care. Don't you care that I'm left alone? And so what does she do? She serves. Next thing we see is Martha then isolates herself with service. Well, nobody else sees what I see, and so I guess I got to be the one to step up and take care of everything. I mean, they must think that this, you know, this whole sitting at the feet and listening thing, don't they realize things need to be in order, things need to be structured, and there's this she isolates. I see Christians do that all the time. They get distracted with the things of life. They get distracted with their bills, with their setbacks, with their whatever it is, and we all have our different distractions, and we get distracted. Then we start to kind of complain about other people, right? And then we start to wonder, God, do you really care? And maybe I just won't go there anymore. Maybe I'll just kind of pull back. Let me just see if I'm gone for a couple weeks, if somebody's going to call me. Let me just set up the scene so that I can be disappointed. And then she escalates a little further. And then Martha tells Jesus what to do. Jesus, go tell Mary to get up and help me clean. Get to work. And you know, that's exactly what, now we would never say it like that. But what we do is we just kind of say, well, you know what? We're going to tell Jesus what to do. Hey, you know what? I will step up when somebody says so-and-so, when somebody does this, when I see someone reach out or somebody meet my need or somebody acknowledges or I will step up when God, if you want me to engage with people, then you need to fix these things. Martha was distracted with many things, and it flows into this anatomy of a disgruntled person. You say, oh, is he talking to me? I might be. I've been in this a long time. I'm talking to a whole bunch of people. I'm talking to myself. Because I can see this same temptation in me, just like I see it evidenced in the family of God across the board. And look what Jesus reveals about Martha. He reveals that Martha was reacting out of anxiety. Martha, Martha. It wasn't like, Martha, Martha. It wasn't a blow up. It was like, oh, Martha, sweetheart, you're missing it. Martha, Martha, you're anxious over many things. Interesting. You are reacting out of anxiety. What we are seeing right now is just the tip of the iceberg. There is in you something that has gone deep that you have not dealt with. And so now we're finally seeing the last straw that broke the camel's back. It's like now we're starting to see this eruption because you haven't dealt with this. You have been anxious over many things. And you are reacting not out of righteousness, but you're reacting out of anxiety. Out of anxiety. Then Jesus says, Martha, you're troubled over many things. Many things that probably had nothing to do with the fact that her sister didn't clean. That was probably the tip of the iceberg. Because nobody reacts like that when everything else is going fine, right? And so he highlights, listen, what I'm seeing in you, Martha, is not a healthy response. You are reacting because you're so filled with anxiety. You're so troubled by so many things. Stop worrying about everything. I've come into the room. Sit at my feet and listen like your sister does. Mary chose well. And Martha, you didn't choose well. I mean, consider this from Martha's perspective. I mean, she's making dinner. That's a good thing. She's putting the drinks out and the matzah and taking care of everything. That's a good thing that Martha's doing, right? She's ensuring that everyone is taken care of. She's the one that invites Jesus into the house. That's a very good thing, right? She's doing much of the serving. In fact, at this time, all of the serving. That's a good thing. So why were things not working out for Martha, even though she was doing these good things? You ever feel like that? You feel like you try with everything in you at times, and it just doesn't seem to be enough? And you get frustrated? You say, I try to be a good Christian. I try to be a loving husband. I try to be a loving wife. I try to be a good parent. I try to be a good son and daughter. I try to be a whatever, fill in the blank. And like Martha, I make sure everyone else is taken care of before I take care of myself? Why do I struggle? And then we begin to feel sorry for ourselves, just like Martha. We begin to feel sorry for ourselves, and we then begin to question God's care for us, just like Martha did. And then we begin to tell God what he needs to do to remedy the situation. Lord, send a lightning bolt to that person so they'd understand what they need to do. Just like Martha did. And if you're honest with yourself, you find yourself reacting to everything and everyone instead of responding appropriately. A steady diet of that over time, and one's love for Jesus begins to wax cold and dormant, even lukewarm. That was Martha. Not so with Mary. Mary's learning. Mary's thriving. Mary's at the feet of her Lord. Jesus is sticking up for Mary when Martha attacks her. Mary is relaxed. Mary is not stressed. Mary is not distracted. Mary's not anxious or troubled. In fact, Mary's chilling out, enjoying herself, and flourishing in the presence of God. Don't you hate being around people like that when you're having a hard time getting past yourself? I'm sure it made Martha feel that much more enraged when, as she's struggling internally and you know, when your insides are spinning and you're thinking, I just want to blow up. And you look and there's Mary just sitting at the feet of Jesus. So content. You want to bless him with a brick. Two well-meaning, well-intentioned sisters. But here's the difference. Martha chose that which was good, and Mary chose that which was the best. Martha walked away frustrated, and Mary walked away fulfilled. Martha saw value in doing for the Lord, and Mary saw value in being with the Lord. And therein is the most important thing that we need to get a hold of. That in the midst of our doing for the Lord, because we need to be doing for the Lord, that's what we're called to do, right? We're saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. Our faith needs to be tied to many, many works, not to secure our salvation, but because of our salvation. And so the evidence or the fruit of our salvation ought to be seen in the way we serve others and love others and reach out to others and are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so this is certainly not to minimize the importance of service. Service is an incredibly important thing. But we need to make sure that the why and the who we do it for is the thing that drives the service that we engage in. And that's a hard balance to reach sometimes. I mean, we're busy people, right? We have family, we have friends, we have church needs, we have business needs, we have community needs, school needs, deadlines. I mean, there's just so many things pulling at us. And you know what? They're important. They're so important. But they're not most important. They're not most important. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And every one of those things, they're important, but they're not most important. And what I'm learning is that sometimes the most efficient thing I can do is to do nothing and to just be in the presence of the Lord. That instead of reacting to everything going on around me, throwing on my cape and flying in and saving the day, I'm learning sometimes the best thing I need to do is to be in the presence of the Lord so that I can get renewed and refreshed and filled so that when I go and do what I'm called to do, I can do it that much more effectively to the glory of God. He is our daily bread. He is our lifeline, isn't he? He is the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And so the posture of the believer ought to be like the vine and the branches. The branch depends upon the vine for its strength and health and nourishment. And so many times we get robbed of the most important thing that we're called to be stewards of. What is that? Our love for Jesus. Our love for Jesus. So what do we learn from this passage? What do we see in Mary, affirmed by Jesus, that helps us to choose the best? There's a couple things in here. I mean, we all want to be like Mary. We want to be chilling, right, with Mary at the feet of Jesus and growing. We don't want to be distracted by Martha, like Martha did. So how do we choose the best? A couple things I want to bring to your attention this morning. Number one, choosing the best means to be in the right place. Choosing the best means to be in the right place. Martha was in the kitchen. Mary was at Jesus' feet. Mary parked herself where the teaching of Jesus was going to be presented. And we need to do the same thing. We need to position ourselves to hear from the Lord. Whether that includes, obviously, certainly coming to church, where we're in worship together, hearing the word of God together, positioning ourselves to put everything and everybody on hold so that we can sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and learn and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Prioritizing the house of God is critically important. Especially in this day where life is so busy and we are being called in every possible direction, prioritizing the house of God and being under the teaching of the word of God is not an act of religiosity. It is a declaration of priority. And that will never be regretted. I've never heard anybody say, I really go to church too much on Sunday. The writer of Hebrews reminds us to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more when you see the day come near, draw near. Position ourselves. Choosing the best means being in the right place so that we can hear from the Lord. Note the contrast. Martha was talking and complaining. Mary was listening and learning. Perhaps that's the reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should be listening twice as much as we speak. Choosing the best means being in the right place. Secondly, choosing the best means listening to the right voice. Mary positioned herself to listen to the Lord. Martha positioned herself to listen to those old tapes in her head that said she needed to serve, she needed to create, she needed to move, she needed to impress, she needed to entertain. Those tapes that run in our head that we listen to sometimes. Mary listened to the voice of Jesus. Martha listened to those tapes that play in her head. Martha listened to the frustrations that were rising up within her. Martha allowed her anxiety to inform her actions. Martha, Martha, you're anxious over many things, troubled over many things. Martha allowed all the things that were troubling her to speak louder than the teaching of Jesus. I mean, think about it. Jesus is teaching Mary. This isn't like an event that's gonna happen. This is happening at this point, right? Jesus is talking to Mary. And while Jesus is speaking to Mary, Martha's not hearing the voice of Jesus because the voice that Martha's listening to is speaking louder than Jesus's, and she's reacting to everything around her except Jesus. And we can do that, can't we? We need to be careful to make sure that we're listening to the right voice. Number three, choosing the best means setting priorities and removing distractions. Choosing the best means setting priorities and removing distractions. Martha was distracted by many things. Many things. Mary's priority was Jesus. Martha's priority was serving. As we learn from the church at Ephesus, we can be doing all the right stuff. We can believe all the right things. We could be serving our community, and we saw all the commendation that Jesus extended towards the church at Ephesus. The problem was, in the midst of all of their doing, they forgot their first love. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in the midst of doing all those things that we're engaged in so many different areas of service. And I thank God for all of the service that goes on out of this church. I love the way that we're able to reach out to our community and those who are in need and our vets. And there's just so many different people involved in the service. And that's so critically important and so wonderfully an expression of Christ. Service is a great thing. It's an important thing. It's a godly thing. But the moment that it becomes more important than setting aside time to grow and develop in our love for Jesus, then our service becomes idolatry. Anything that gets in the way of our love for Jesus is idolatry. And we need to make sure that everything we're doing is held in proper prioritization so that it's not pulling us from Jesus, but instead driving us closer to Jesus. Martha was distracted by many things. And the question that begs to be answered is, what distracts you? What distracts you from that quality time alone with Jesus? What keeps you from those moments where you can just be alone with God and shut down everything necessary so that you can be alone with Jesus? Choose well. Choosing the best means identifying distractions, avoiding them, and putting our priorities in place in such a way that we will always have time to serve and meet the needs of others. But we will do it out of a greater love for Jesus and not out of duty. And we'll find ourselves a lot less frustrated with other people who aren't as sanctified as we are, as mature as we are. We'll find ourselves have a lot more patience because we're not looking at what everybody else is or isn't doing, but we're looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice something. When Martha was distracted, Martha lost focus. And when Martha lost focus, it caused her to forget God's care for her. Lord, don't you care? Don't you even care how I'm feeling right now? When Martha lost focus, it caused her to resort to self-pity. I'm left alone to do the work. Poor me. Yeah, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll eat some worms, right? It's so easy to go there sometimes. When we lose focus, it caused her to focus on what others were or weren't doing. Notice, she says, my sister left me. It suggests that there was a point where her sister was working alongside her. Perhaps before Jesus showed up, the two of them were working alongside, getting things ready for when Jesus showed up. But when Jesus showed up, everything stops for Mary and she sits at the feet of Jesus. And what Martha says is, my sister left me. That means at one point she was with me, right? So she left, she stopped doing what she was supposed to be doing, according to me, because she's now in the presence of Jesus. The fourth thing that helps us to choose the best, I mean, choosing the best means you're willing to disappoint people before disappointing God. That's hard. Choosing the best means you're willing to disappoint people before disappointing God. I mean, Mary knew full well what her sister Martha was like. They were sisters their whole life. They had seen the best and worst in each other. Like every other sibling, they know how to bring the best and worst out of each other. Mary knew her sister well enough to know that the moment she sat down, it was going to make Martha go through the roof. That's a pretty fair assessment. She knew her sister. She knew. At some point, she's like, all right, I know Jesus is here, and I know there's still stuff to get done, but Jesus is here, And I know if I sit down, my sister's going to go nuts and she's going to be so distracted with what still needs to get done. I'm going to have to disappoint somebody here. I'm going to disappoint Martha or I'm going to disappoint Jesus. And she sat at the feet of Jesus and she chose well. Mary chose the best thing. Better to disappoint her sister than to disappoint her Lord. And I'm going to tell you that as you prioritize your walk with Jesus, every yes you say to growing in your love for Christ, you're going to have to say no to something else. And that might mean somebody is going to be disappointed. I feel like that all the time. Fully realizing that every time I say yes to one thing, I have to say no to something else. And if I were to be really honest with you, I've been guilty at times of choosing to disappoint people, choosing to disappoint God because I was afraid to disappoint people. I comforted myself and justified it by saying, well, God knows my heart. No. I need to be at his feet. I need to be with people. I love being with people. But if I want to be the best me that God's made me to be, I need to be at his feet first. Everything and everything I do needs to be an overflow of me being at his feet. Choosing the best means pursuing that which cannot, choosing the best means the willingness to disappoint people at some time or another, so long as we don't disappoint God first. And then lastly, choosing the best means pursuing that which cannot be taken away. Choosing the best means pursuing that which cannot be taken away. Jesus has a great way of putting this. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Notice what Jesus just did. He's speaking about priorities, right? There's many, and then Jesus says, there's one. There's one thing that's necessary. You're thinking about many things. You're troubled over many things. You're anxious over many things. But there's really only one thing that is needed, one thing that is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Interesting. Martha was worried about all of the things that were temporary. In and of themselves, they probably were all important things. But they weren't eternal things. And just know that every time you set aside time to be alone with the Lord in the Word and just growing, you are investing into an eternal relationship that you're going to have with God forever. Martha was worried about all the things that were temporary. The clean dishes that she spent so much time cleaning, they were going to get dirty again. The floor that she went crazy sweeping up would have to get swept up again. All of the straightening out of things was going to get messy again. As parents, you know, moms, you know, how many times you stress out over the house that's a mess and you blow up and you finally get it clean. And you think it's going to stay like this forever, but it's really not. It's really not. It's just going to be a matter of time before they bring in the tornado and it all happens again. Mary, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled over many things. There's one thing that's necessary. One thing. And Mary's chosen it. And it will not be taken away. Integrity. One thing is necessary. And it is the only thing that will last forever. You know, the only thing we can take with us is our relationship with God. And we want to invest in that, prioritize that, and make everything else yield to that so that we could be that much more effective in everything else. That much more. Listen, you say, we are supposed to say no to my husband. You'll be a better husband or better, you'll be a better wife when you're first at the feet of Jesus. You'll be a better husband when you're first at the feet of Jesus. You'll be a better parent when you're first at the feet of Jesus. Because he gives us what we need to do what he's ultimately called us to do. What you sow is what you reap. Now, a lot of times we hear that and we think that's a negative thing. That's a positive thing, depending on what you're sowing, right? Sow into the Spirit and you reap of the Spirit. Sow into the flesh, Galatians says, and you reap of the flesh. Sow into your relationship with God and you'll take it with you to heaven. And you'll experience a little bit of heaven right here on earth the way you were designed to do. Let's choose the best integrity. Let's honor God together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we recognize that we live in such a distracted culture. We are pulled in so many different directions, and sometimes it's so easy to fall prey to those distractions. And we pray, Lord, that we would just continue to, Lord, just glorify you in our decision-making, in our prioritization. Lord, give us grace to say no to the things that you don't have for us so that we'd say yes to the things that you do have for us. Help us to balance out our lives so that, Lord, we would be a reflection of you in the world today. We thank you, we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.